Well, it's that time of year. Actually, the topic today, it's year-round. But this time of year makes us think about it. Makes us think about the Mediterranean, right? That's Mount Etna brooding over there in the clouds. That's the best view we got of it when we were over there. Can you imagine sitting there and watching lava spewing out of that 10,000-foot peak off in the south? That'd be pretty scary. How much of our time is spent researching and placing orders? That's why I said, yes, this is the time. You know, the topic today is, may I take your order? It's just kind of a playful way of looking at it. But researching and placing orders. You know, long ago, maybe 5 years ago, before COVID, we would go up and down the aisles of the grocery stores and, you know, select our things and put them in a cart and wheel our heavy cart around. Nowadays, you can just sit at the comfort of your computer and scroll through and get your milk and your eggs and your butter and all, and order them via DoorDash or, you know, home delivery service, or you can go wait outside and pick them up. Likewise, when I was young, my mother would drag me down to Leggett's in Culpeper, downtown where the post office is now. And I would go down the basement, and that's where the boys' clothes were. You remember that, Bill? And racks of boring clothes, no toys at all in Leggett's, and just sit underneath these racks. They had a little wheel brace you could sit on when you're young and wait and just fall asleep, basically waiting. Now you can go online and you can pick any size you want, any color you want, look at all the prices, sort, do all the stuff, and never leave your big lazy boy chair. And, Will, here's one for you. Central Hardware. We had three hardware stores within like 50, maybe 100-foot radius on East Davis Street. And you wanted a bolt, you would go down to the hardware store and you'd tell the man at the counter, and he would go climb the ladder and search through these boxes up here. There's a ladder right there. They had one of those at Central Hardware. And he'd select the bolt for you and put a little paper bag and ring it up, and it'd be like 20 cents or something for five bolts. A really good price. Nowadays, you can go on to Home Depot and you can sort and select your 3,546 different varieties of 1024 bolts. That's just astonishing to me, you know. It's just, and it's just so easy. They just mail it right to you. And interestingly enough, back in the old days, we would settle for basics, simple things. Now there's just so many choices. I want us to think about ordering today as a topic. Psalm 50:23 says, "And to him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God." Do we desire to see God's salvation, you know, in our spiritual walk? Are we thinking about what we order, the things that we do, and how they affect the future of our lives? Today, tomorrow, yesterday, you think about all the things you do to set in order, to set in motion future events. How do we select the right path? How do we select the right, from the right menu, really, for our spiritual growth? Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for your provision for us. We take everything today for granted that you provide abundantly, and just pray that you would help us to reflect on your marvelous mercy and your grace, and help us to take these verses to heart. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there's three usages of the word order. Now, you're familiar with the noun form, you know, you place an order. Say, I ordered a triple burger and a shake. And that would be a verb form. Or I place the order, and that's the noun form. And then my wife canceled the order, canceled it in order to prevent me from gaining too much weight or preserving my health, that kind of thing. That's the conjunction form, and that's primarily the type of verses we're going to be looking at this morning. In order that, or so that, your translation may use the word so that, or that. But the topic really is, what things do we do that result in something else? That's the the translation of the word is hina in Greek, and it means so that, or to the extent, or that. So causes and effects, that's really the main topic. Okay, first, bad orders. If you're a farmer and you want to plow your field, you should not order that tractor. That will not do the job, right, Will? If you are an asthmatic, you should not order a tuba to play as your preferred instrument. You should order something that doesn't require breath, right? Bad orders. None of us should make these orders. Bad plans would be the first one. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children who execute a plan, but not mine, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin. They willfully are doing something they know is going to compound sin. Let's think about it. What do we do that are bad plans that do the same thing? You know, we know that God has clearly said something in Scripture, and we just say, well, this time I'm just going to do my way. Bad plans. Isaiah 29:15. And not only do we make bad plans, we try to hide them. Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord, whose deeds are done in a dark place. They say, who sees us? So there's an element of agnosticism here, really, that you don't think God can see it, or he's not going to see it, and you're not going to reap any consequences. Bad plans. Causes and effects you see here are compounded sin, feeling invincible, feeling proud. Those are bad plans. I would use this illustration of the Acropolis in Athens. You've read in Acts where Paul stood on Mars Hill, and that's this mound of rock right here, and he looked at Areopagus called Mars Hill. Yeah, he looked at the, I'm going to use the word altar to a false god. I guess it was an altar. People that built those temples up there were building them to honor false gods. Those are bad plans. Now they're tourist traps. They charge you 30 euros, I think, to climb up there. 40, Margaret says 40. So they're not being worshipped at anymore. God has brought them down. Second, bad motives. Ezekiel 22:27. Talking about Israel, her princes within her are like wolves tearing the prey by shedding blood and destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. They're destroying lives with the result that they're getting dishonest gain. Bad motives. And the verse that got me triggered to think about this topic is in Mark 12. They sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to him in order to trap him in a statement. Their goal was to trap Jesus. And can you imagine the burden of that? You know, you're supposed to be a spiritual leader and you're setting off to trap someone. It's incomprehensible to me. Galatians 2, verse 4. The same thing was happening in the early church. False brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. the Jews didn't want these false brethren didn't want the Gentiles to come in and get away with not having to keep the whole law. So they were trying to put them into bondage, Paul was saying. Galatians 2:4. And then James 4:3. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's the same word there in Greek. In order that you may spend it on your pleasures. Wrong motives, dishonest gain, entrapment, bondage, selfish pleasures, bad motives. I was thinking about all the Mediterranean is just dotted with fortresses along the coastline, buildings made of generally stone, sometimes brick, but mainly stone, where a civilization, a culture will build a fortress along the coast because they know marauders are coming. They know pirates are coming, or the Venetians or the Phoenicians. There's all these cultures of marauding and pillaging. And so they would build these big stone walls and fortresses. And generally, they would be conquered at some point. Bad motives, invading. Third, bad responses. Jeremiah 17:23, yet they did not listen or incline their ears, but stiffened their necks in order not to listen or take correction. Do we stiffen our necks when we're hearing the Spirit talk to us, whispering something that we shouldn't be doing or something that we should be doing and we don't want to do it? That's the contact. That's a response. The first step is mentally stiffening yourself. Mark 7:9, Jesus talking to the Pharisees. You are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. Doing a traditional thing versus what is godly, a bad response. Well, we've always done it that way here. Can't do it different. Isn't that it? That's tradition. James 5:9. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Now, I know some of you may have squeaked through on a lot of these other ones, but complaining, don't we do that? We all do that, complaining. And it might be a civilized complaint, you know. We coach it in the right. Well, you know, I praise the Lord, I've progressed beyond that. So, something to think about, not to complain against one another. Bad responses, not listening, not accepting discipline, putting tradition above God's commands, complaining. In Malta, there's a little town called Mosta, and the people of the town prayed because some catastrophe was coming. And God spared them from the catastrophe. So they built this big dome church. I think it's the third largest dome in the world, a freestanding dome for a church, that is. I'm sure there's athletic domes that are big. But they had the wrong response. If you go inside there, they have an altar dedicated to the Assumption of the Virgin Mary. And they have all these icons associated with people other than Jesus Christ. A bad response. All right, we've talked about bad orders. We're going to progress to good orders. These are things we should do or we should make. Good plans. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. And then Acts 3:19, repent and return so their sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come. Ordering your way aright. That requires us to think about it. You know, think about the steps we're going to take each day. And this next verse talks about that. Psalm 5:3, in the morning you will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to you. We have to reset ourselves every day. When that clock ticks off and we wake up to it, or we wake up naturally. Think about how the Lord has given us a chance to reset, to start fresh, refocus, wait for his plans to unfold, good plans. And this is a shot of Krka National Park, Croatia. The water just flows down through the vegetation on the hillside and has a lot of dissolved calcium in it, so it forms all these waterfalls. It's a very beautiful spot. You think about the Holy Spirit. He's flowing pervasively through our lives. He's given us opportunity to make good plans. Second, good motives. Mark 3:10. For he had healed many, with the result that all those who had afflictions pressed around him in order to touch him. I would say that's got to be really hard when we're afflicted to want to press closer to Christ. Don't we always fight back, you know, or isolate ourselves? Cindy, you talked about your friend who wanted to isolate herself. She wanted to remove herself, but we need to get closer to him even when he's not seemingly answering us. That's a challenge. Do we long to touch him? Zacchaeus, Luke 19, was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable to because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead, climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see him. He took steps. He did something that was dangerous. He was a short guy climbing a sycamore. And sycamores, if you know what they look like, generally have limbs that are pretty high up and very smooth, slick bark. I don't know how he did it, but he did. And Jesus said, "Hey, I'm coming to your house today." He took a risk. He was despised. He was resented by the people around him. If you read that passage, he's a sinner. They said, he's a sinner. What is Jesus doing eating with him? And then Philippians 1:10. So that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless. Goal is sincerity and blamelessness. Face the difficulties along the way. Good motives. We had been down here along this coast in a bus, and then they said, "Oh, we're going to go up there on top of that mountain and have some Greek tapas platter." And this bus drove a very windy, narrow road all the way up there. And I am not exaggerating. There were gaps about this wide on each side of the bus as it wound its way through streets. It was not a two-way situation at all. There were cars that came the wrong way. They had to back out of the way. And I was just thinking, you know, that would never fly here in the United States. We don't do things like that. But the houses were pressing in on us, and still we were climbing up. So think about that spiritual implications. To see the heavenly views, keep pressing on, you know, keep on heading uphill through difficult, twisting circumstances. Good motives. And then third, good responses. For this reason is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants. This is talking about Gentiles and how we've been grafted in to God's family. We've been grafted in because we have the promise of Abraham, the faith of Abraham. And in John 15, Jesus was talking to the disciples. He said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. And your fruit would remain, so that you would ask anything of my Father, he would give it to you." Bear fruit, and that you can ask, and he would supply. Ephesians 2:10, a passage that you know, you've memorized 8 and 9, 10, hopefully 2. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that, in order that, we would walk in them. We are his workmanship. So our response should be faith, fruitfulness, good works, and walking the right path. All right, we've talked about bad orders. We've talked about good orders. Have you thought about the fact there's impossible orders for us to place? There's things that we cannot order. And I forgot I had a picture of some fruitfulness. Those are some datura flowers, very big, beautiful pendulous flowers, some dates. I don't know what this one is. It's in Greece. Impossible orders. It's impossible for us to provide a sacrifice for our sin. And as a result, Jesus appeared. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins. And in him, there's no sin. It was impossible for us to order that. 1 Peter 3:18. Again, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. The just for the unjust, something we could not order. It's amazing to think about. God saw our need. He set into motion the order for us. He atoned for our sin. Atonement, that's one. Next one I have is intercession. We can't order that. The Holy Spirit is doing it already. Jesus promised that. Hebrews 2:17, and here's the high priest. He had to be made in the likeness of his brethren in all things so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Jesus provides intercession as our high priest. And then Isaiah 57:15, thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell on a high and holy place and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit in order to revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite. That's a really big contrast there, high and exalted, lifted up. We sang that last song, high and lifted up. And yet he dwells with the lowly of spirit. It's an amazing thing. He's the paraclete. He's come alongside. The Holy Spirit is with us day after day. And that makes it possible for us to do the things we talked about earlier, the order. Third, blessing. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He became the curse for us, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. We take so much for granted as Gentiles in this world. You know, the Lord grafted us in out of his plan, his goodness, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Ephesians 2:4-7. It's a beautiful passage. But the point is that God raised us up with him and seated us in the heavenly places so that he might show the surpassing riches of his grace. So that is in order that he might show the riches of his grace and kindness toward us. Blessings. Not only have been redeemed from death, we've been raised up, we've been seated with God in the heavenly places, we've been blessed for eternity. It's an amazing thing. And so that kind of is how I'm going to tie this into Thanksgiving. We have every reason to be thankful on Thursday. And it's not about the food. It's not about the festivities and family get-together. It's about being thankful for all these blessings that he's provided that it was impossible for us to give ourselves, right? We couldn't order any of these things for ourselves. If my helpers would come up, I'd like to turn our attention now to the Lord's table, thinking about his high priestly role, his intercession. Romans 6, 6 through 10 says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, who has been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death is no longer master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Our old self was crucified with him. If you have been crucified with Christ, and I invite you to join in this morning. If you have not, please use this time to place your faith in him. We have lots of fancy words for salvation, but just call upon God, ask his forgiveness, trust in him. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Let's take a minute to reflect and to make our hearts right with the Lord, and then we'll take the bread together. The night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." In the same way he took the cup. He said this is the cup of the new covenant. He's made a new covenant with us. Drink it in remembrance of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for giving us a chance to reflect on what you've done, everything you've done, what blessings you provided that are spiritual, that are heavenly, eternal. Help us to reflect on that this rest of this day and this week, grateful with thanksgiving in our hearts as we celebrate this season. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.